Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your hosts, Jay and Dre. Hey there, hello, welcome in. You are indeed listening live to Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast, here with you live on a Tuesday night, July the 11th, 2023. I'm Dre, he's Jay. Baseball season is halfway home, and we're going to chat a little bit about baseball tonight, a little recap of the first half of the season. You may be watching the All-Star Game, if you're so inclined, which is tied 1-1 in the sixth. And you're joining us now, and if you are doing so, we appreciate that, and thank you very much. Jay, how's summer going so far?
It's going well. No complaints so far. You know, cute factor's almost completely recovered now, so that's outstanding, you know, getting through that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, there was a lot of improvement when we talked during the last show, and now even better. So she's running around, having fun, playing. Not. It's nice just seeing her, not even thinking about it really when she's out there doing things. Maybe a little too reckless, but you know that's being 11.
Yeah, that's what kids do.
So it's been good. It's been a good summer so far. Not too much else to report. You know that's dominated our the start of our summer.
Sure.
So maybe it feels like summer might just be getting started.
Yeah, understandable. Let's see if this man has something to add to the summer ongoings. We know he's always got interesting thoughts on his mind. It's our guy Lou in Jersey. What's up, Lou?
Thank you. Thank you for asking. Yeah, I'm catching the All-Star Game right now. Not exactly the kind of game I thought it was going to be. I thought it would be a little bit more offense because this is a hitter's ballpark. And, of course, the American League, you know, is a slugger's league. But it's been mostly like a defensive game. I mean, they've been great plays, great catches. So if you like defense, well, then this is your game. Me, I'm a little disappointed.
I think it's pretty much what I've expected because the pitching is so much better. It's the best hitters, but it's also, you know, the best pitchers. So it's really hard to get a lot of runs on when you got these arms coming in, especially, you know, these starters are throwing 99, 100 because they know this is their time to air it out. They're only going to go one inning. So, you know, these guys, George Kirby was out there just humping it, man.
which is normally not his game so much.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, that always makes me think back to Brad Penny that one year where he was just like, I don't know if I'm ever getting back here again. I'm throwing 100 every pitch. I don't care. I'm just airing it out. So I think that's the attitude a lot of these pitchers take now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just more of an offensive type of guy, so you get the idea. Yeah,
I understand.
But it's been interesting summer so far. I mean, you know, we besides the All-Star Game, of course, we had the NHL playoffs and the NBA. We had the draft, which of course was not surprising who got picked first. Though the performance. Well, how you guys be the judge of that? I mean, you know, sometimes the players just a little bit of the hype that they were surrounded by. But all in all, Victor Wembanyama, I don't think he was that bad. Okay, 9 points in the first game. All right, but he had some great rebounding. He had 5 blocks. When do you see a player do that in a game? 5 blocks, come on. And he scored well in his second game. I think maybe he got a bump steer.
No, definitely. It's the summer, Lou. It's zero people will bring up and remember Victor Wembanyama's first summer league game by the time they start the actual season. Zero people will remember that because then real basketball will be played.
Well, almost zero. I will remember it.
Well, you might remember, but the rest of us, we're not going to think about it at all.
I would hope not. Because, you know, what do you expect? I mean, he's not, you know, right now, he doesn't look to be like the next Michael Jordan, next LeBron. And the thing is, I think they're just, you know, hyping him up too much and comparing him like he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, which was only invented 2 weeks ago. So I think maybe, you know, maybe he was just overhyped, and, you know, I don't think he was a letdown at all. I think maybe he just made him more out than he was to be.
Nah, I don't think there's any value to put on it whatsoever. The actual season will show what he's made of. The Summer League stuff was just basically him knocking off the cobwebs.
Right.
I don't put any value on that at all. What else you been thinking about this baseball season? You got the surprises, you got the Orioles, you got the Diamondbacks, you got teams that you didn't expect to be up there. How many of those do you think actually going to survive and be there at the end?
Two. I mean, I'm going to have, you know, a few good teams to make it all the way. I mean, the Orioles, they're continuing on from last season's success, which have now is like, okay, this is not your father's Orioles team. They're surprising everybody still. I mean, up until, you know, in the last, like, 10 years, you know, they have, well, been trash. I mean, we haven't seen them good since the 90s, really. And they've been a dumping ground, you know, in the American League ever since. Tampa Bay still has our number. The Yankees, look, if they weren't injured so much, maybe they'd be more in better contention. Of course, this happened back a few years ago, but the difference is they had a better minor league system at that point, and they called the right players to replace the injured players. This year hasn't been so lucky. You know, when you get those injured players, you want to get the good players from your AA and AAA teams. We haven't seen it this year, with the exception of one game, which happened 2 weeks ago, and I think you know what I mean by that, of course.
I mean, they're waiting for Volpe and these guys to develop, and then it's not happening as fast as they want.
And Volpe, yeah. I mean, they hyped up Volpe around this area, of course, you know, because he's a local guy for us, and they were looking like, you know, to be the next great player. So far, hasn't been like that, you know, another overhyping. But, I mean, 2 weeks ago, we had, like, the best game we had in years, and I think you know what I mean by that, of course.
Yeah, I remember. But, you know, there's a lot going on with the Yankees. You know, you got the injuries, you got Aaron Judge, you know, Stanton's been hurt again. So it's there's a lot happening
one?
There.
Really? Come on, Stanton, Mr. Injury Prone.
Yeah.
What a shot.
I know.
How's a guy that's been in the major leagues? That's what I want to know.
He's very good. When he's on the field, he's very good. He's
like
on the field that
much.
You know,
I think the Yankees, they take on the insurance policy and just him alone.
They're always going to have some issues. You got to play better. That's all it really boils down to. Tampa plays much better baseball than they do. Baltimore plays better baseball. You just got to play better. You got to be better at baseball. That's pretty much that simple.
And you got to be healthy, too. I mean, because you can't win if all your players are building up like a mass unit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't win that way. And the Mets, well, that's, I think, the disappointment of the year. You won 102 games last year. You lost in the division series. But I thought maybe they were going to build on that success from last year. And this year they've been anything but. I mean, they're still 5 or 6 teams below 500 in the second half of the season, and Atlanta's just running away with this division. So there isn't much hope for the New York Mets fans this year. About, I don't think we're going to see the same results we backed in 69 and 73, you know, when they were so far down and came back. That's when they had one winner in the National League and ML AL leagues. There was only one winner. Even with this new expansion, I don't see how the Mets are going to, you know, bow back from this.
No, being 6 games down at this stage, no, it's not looking good for them. So I think we can put the Mets to bed.
Yeah, I mean, never mind just 16. I mean, 16 is below 500. You got to get above 500 first before we start taking contention. Come on.
Right.
You know,
so
you can't. And speaking of a comic tragedy, how about the whole AL Central?
I don't want to talk about that.
Can you stay pathetic, boys and girls? Sure you can.
I don't want to talk about the Central.
Okay.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
No, I work with a guy who covers the Tigers, and he is just like beyond himself as well. I mean, because I cover the standings as well, and the AL Central is nothing more than a complete joke. We call it the AL Comedy Central, and believe me, it's a comic tragedy if I ever saw one. Oh.
I can't argue with that. I have no defense for the AL Central at all.
Hey, hey!
Yeah.
They are a comedy. That's for
Thanks,
sure.
Thanks, Krusty.
Who do you think's going to be there at the end with all these top teams? Tampa's playing so great, and the Rangers, of course, and the Braves
Tampa,
are the best team
yeah.
in baseball.
Yeah. My big thing is, like, who's going to win the AL West? The NL West, because, you know, you have the Dodgers and you have the D-backs, you know, right on top of each other. And the Giants aren't too shabby either, so that's the race to watch for.
It's going to be interesting. I don't see the Diamondbacks still being there at the end, but, you know, stranger things have happened.
Wrong show. Sorry. He got it. He got the joke. Okay. You know,
I got
you
it.
Think the Dodgers are going to catch up?
Oh, sure, yeah. At the end, the Dodgers are always there, you know. And they'll probably make a trade and be even better before the deadline.
A friend of mine told me this. Who is the only team that could beat the Dodgers?
That would be the Dodgers.
The Dodgers themselves. Oh, you must know the guy I mean. Okay. Yeah. So you got to wait and see about that. But the West looks like the best race there is in all of baseball. I mean the Braves have got this divisional wrapped up. Forget it.
Sure.
The AL East, yeah, it looks like well, it's tough to say. I mean, I think Baltimore can sneak in against the Rays, and because you know the Rays have a better record at home than the better road record than the Rays do.
Yeah, but the Rays are just—they're so annoying. They just keep finding ways to scratch out wins.
Well,
I didn't know they were going to lose a game at the beginning of the season. They were like 13-0 or something crazy like that.
15-0,
yeah.
I mean, this reminds me of the 82 Braves.
Or the 84 Tigers.
Yeah, okay, we'll count the Tigers because they actually won it that year and the Braves did not in 82, but that was, you know, a remarkable start. I didn't have TBS yet. I didn't get TBS until 86.
I don't think I had it yet either.
Well, then again, like I said, our cable system sucked at the time.
The old days.
We were the last, to get the good channels. I'll tell you right now. We were the last to get the good channels.
Jay and I will probably go non sequitur about 80s cable as the show goes on.
And I'm like, well, just to give you an example, like, you know, because I know the Braves were a hot team that season. Like, I can't see these Braves games unless I go to my cousin's house. Okay. And then he's like, finally, I get to watch Braves games and see how good they are. Thank you. You get the point. So I've been a little bit of a diehard Braves fan for a while.
Yeah, they're the superstation teams, Braves and the Cubs, got all the national love.
Yeah. And the White Sox. Well, no, we can't count the White Sox.
No, we're not going to. They don't exist. That title didn't happen, apparently.
You mean the 2005 title?
Yeah, apparently it never happened.
Yeah.
When you talk about Chicago championships, that never gets mentioned because apparently it was a dream. It was a figment of my imagination.
Yeah. But then, of course, 2016, something I thought we'd never see.
Yeah, the actual Chicago team, right?
The Cubs won it!
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I got a weird story about that, too. I don't mean to take up a lot of the time here, but you know, this is doing my first year of national podcasting, and I've been doing and we were waiting for the game to restart because there was a rain delay in Cleveland. So I'm like, oh, boy, this is going to be a late night. I mean, we weren't going to go on the air until the game was over. So this is going to be a long night. You know, like, the game we started about 12:10. I thought it was going to go into about maybe like 1:30, 2 in the morning. Oh, boy. What a nightmare this is going to be. Luckily, the Cubs in the 10th inning with two runs. And I'm like, And even though that I'm not from Chicago, like, the Cubs are like, holy mackerel, a miracle has happened. The Cubs have won it. If Harry Carey was still alive, oh, boy.
He wouldn't have been after that moment. That would have killed him.
Unfortunately, yeah, Joe Buck. Never mind.
No, don't ask Jay about that. Jay's favorite broadcaster.
I hate Joe Buck fan club too.
Absolutely.
Isn't everyone
charter member?
Pretty much. I thought I was the only one.
Oh no.
Well,
I don't know anybody who actually likes him.
I'm the president of the I Hate Joe Buck fan club, by the way.
Well, you and Jay are going to have to wrestle about that.
We've torched him enough on this show. Maybe not
okay,
enough, but he's had his moments on this on these airwaves here on this show.
Same on mine.
All right, Lou, plug your podcast.
Sorry. All right, it's called the I Hate Joe Buck Fan Club Show. that could be the next title. No, it's called the Enhanced Sports Show. We're on Saturday afternoons from 4 to 6 p.m. That's Eastern time, by the way, so let's get it perfectly clear. Not 4 o'clock in the Central, not 4 o'clock in Zimbabwe, not 4 o'clock in Los Angeles, 4 o'clock Eastern time. The number to call is 512-543-4662. And if you thought July was going to be a dull month in the sports world, we were going to recap the Home Run Derby, which was wow. We'll recap this game, which hopefully will end by tomorrow. We'll also take a look at the Wimbledon finals, men's and women's, because the women's is Saturday, the men's is Sunday. We'll also have a recap of the ESPY Awards. Yes, I'm covering that too. And we'll also have a look at previewing the Women's World Cup, which begins next week. So we'll go through the matchups, take your predictions on who's going to win, and think of predictions. Anybody who calls, I want your predictions on your team for the second half of the MLB season. So if you do get a chance to call, I'd like your predictions on who your team is and how they do as we run into the second half of the season, which begins on Friday. Friday.
That's a full plate right there. Lou, thank you. Have a good evening.
Yeah. So hopefully you guys get a chance to call. I can sure use it this week.
We'll see if we can make it.
Okay.
All right, Lou, thanks.
Thank you.
The one and only Lou in Jersey. I kind of want to tune in.
It's a special time. I was just sitting here enjoying an adult beverage. And with every sip, I was trying to decide if I was completely caught up to Lou in Jersey.
I kind of want to listen because I actually want to hear that lunatic break down the Wimbledon final. Like, what could – I'm flabbergasted that they're even
first
going
of all,
into...
credit to anybody who still gets excited about any all-star festivities from any sport.
Yeah, I can't break down the Home Run Derby last night because I watched 0% of it.
I didn't watch. I had zero interest. I mean, we love baseball, so I mean, people listen to this and like think we're like haters. No, we love baseball. We absolutely love it. But I have just nothing in me anymore for Home Run Derby or even the All-Star game right now. I'm not watching. I don't even know what's happening. And I think that just All-Star games in general, Pro Bowl, NBA, and then the baseball All-Star game are such a – There's such an outdated concept. They're from a time when this was your only chance to see the players from the other league and the best players from the other league because you did not have – you had your local market, and for when we were growing up, you had your local market and you had, Cubs baseball or Braves baseball with the superstations or you had, Sunday night or whatever night it was, Friday night, whatever night it was that they had the MLB game on network.
It used to be Monday night on ABC, games of the week.
Well, yeah, but what now you have highlights in your pocket on your phone. You have access to anything that you want. You have 20-something different sports stations, it seems like, with this 24-hour news cycle who ram stuff down your throats, and all the social media. You don't need the All-Star game anymore.
It is different. It's much different now.
Right. Plus, this even goes back to 20, 25 years ago. The game itself becomes kind of a joke because the majority of the players, the top players, and a lot of the pitchers, they don't even go. They all come up with mystery ailments, or they all go on the DL 3 days before the All-Star game. It's just not what it used to be. You know, I don't have any interest in watching an exhibition game of baseball in the middle of the season. Not like I did when I was younger.
Yeah, I definitely don't have the interest that I did when I was a kid. By the way, you're not missing anything. It's a sloppy game. There's a lot of errors being made, and you can tell a lot of these guys don't kind of care. They're just there.
Right. We had that trend. We really were on that trajectory, I think, to sort of changing it or being done with it. But then we had that damn tie.
And Bud stealing with his arms
right.
out.
And then they decided that this time it counts. This time we're playing for something. And then they started the stupid whichever side wins the All-Star game, that league gets home field advantage in the world. Think about how ridiculous that is just on its face.
That's one of the dumbest rules in my lifetime. I hated that rule from the moment they put it in and said so.
Although, I completely credit that rule with my Cubs World Series title.
You don't think they would have won the title if they had home field?
I don't. They played, when they were at home, they were very tight. It was the curse.
Oh, man.
Right? They came home and down, it was 1-1. They came home, dropped the first two at home.
Yeah.
To go, and then, barely hung on in game five. I think they had Aroldis Chapman pitch 2 2/3 to finish out that game to just clamp down a very low score. It's like 3-2.
No wonder his arm was a noodle by game seven.
Well, they didn't care. He was a rental. They knew it.
Yeah.
they knew they were running him into the ground, and he wasn't the same for the next couple of seasons after that, the way Joe Maddon used and abused him, but that's what we got him for. I think going back to Cleveland, then once they gutted out that game five and they played so much better and so much different in game six and game seven. They looked like the team that had the best record going into the World Series that should have had the home field. I guarantee you, if they had had home field, they would have lost.
I don't guarantee that because they were playing a team that was equally their sphincters
equally
were
cursed.
Also tight,
that's possible.
And they also had no World Series experience at all and looked like it in the Cleveland Indians at the time. I don't know. I think Cleveland might have blown that one even if they were at Wrigley. I'm just glad it wasn't at Wrigley because if it was at Wrigley for Game Seven and all that happened, that neighborhood would have imploded. They would have demolished
that would have gone,
the stadium.
Yeah, that would have gone nuclear.
The stadium would not have stood anymore. It would be for 100 years.
If people would have demolished that place just to take the bricks and the seats out of that place, I would have been okay with it.
They would have tore it down brick by brick. Absolutely.
No, I was of the opinion that them having to play those last two games on the road actually was a benefit for them.
You may be right, but I don't know if Cleveland would have fared any better. I think they were just as tight as the Cubs were.
Yeah, because they went back there. At game six, they just whooped them.
Right.
It just destroyed them in game six. So even though you and I have just zero interest at all in the actual All-Star game, we're still at, this is the perfect time for us to go back and, revisit some of our predictions.
You're also not missing that they've given three microphones during the game, during the play-by-play at on the first base dugout side, or the third base actually, to Sloppy Poppy Ortiz, A-Rod, and Derek Jeter. So you're also not missing that.
That's what we need.
Right. We don't need the players. But we got the players mic'd up. We had that as well, but now we got the former players sitting there. Laughing, A-Rod in that fake laugh. I'm looking at him right now. I can hear the laugh. The TV's on mute, but I can still hear that fake laugh because that's the same laugh he has all the time. And he's just that's one of the funniest people in the world, like, for the last 20 years running. It's unbelievable. I don't believe a word that comes out of that man's mouth. He's running for office someday.
Yeah, he probably could.
We usually don't go and look at our picks for the regular season in the midseason, but we have nothing else to do because it's July and we're not going to cover Wimbledon and we're not going to cover the Women's World Cup and we're not
Lou
in Jersey. We can't do that.
That's what I was about to say. As you heard here on our show, there are other places to go for that content. I did not have a whole lot even to say about the whole Summer League and Victor Wembanyama or any of that, because you are exactly correct. Nobody is going to care about his two games that he played.
By the time they tip real games, nobody will remember
care
what he did at Summer League.
Summer League stats and Summer League drama or cell phone videos of him shooting air balls in warmups are about as useful to me as watching the football players ball out in shorts and t-shirts, because I could stand in an empty gymnasium on a football field and throw balls to world-class wide receivers and find one good throw. I've got one in me.
Yeah.
And post that somewhere on the webs to say that I'm going to have a breakout season. So that stuff just frustrates me, but I also at the same time try to dismiss it, but it's so silly. And that's exactly the same vibe I get from that, same energy that I get out of those ridiculous, you know, someone so-and-so is poised for a breakout season, because look at here, watch him launch one ball, you know. That's great. Dude's in shorts and a t-shirt. Who cares? You know, no, that's the same as, oh, here's a guy. Watch, he made a bad throw in practice.
Oh, he sucks.
And they just showed you that one bad throw on practice on a loop.
Yeah, it's. I'm not going to go long into the sports talk landscape, but basically, you have incidents like that blown up so that Greeny and Screamin' A can have something to talk about for 4 hours the next day on their show, and they get millions and millions of dollars a year for that. We're missing out because we should be doing that. We can do that.
It's also to give every – I've noticed that every fan base is getting its little, you know, dose of hype. NFL does this better than anybody, and so much of it's fake. Like throughout this offseason, every team has got a chance. Oh, boy.
All of them.
You know, and you have these sycophantic, you know, web or Twitter – accounts that are just going to sit out there and just pump out, you know, positive stuff about this franchise, that franchise, even though they're completely like dog crap or you don't have lofty expectations. Boy, going into this season though, every team's going 10-7. If you watch these things,
I just read something about the Houston Texans got a complete steal when they hired D'Amico Ryans as their coach. They're just turning everything around because they got D'Amico Ryans. I just read that. Like, come on, people. Come on.
Yeah. No, there are franchises that are destined to win 3 and 4 games this year, you know, and it's a hype machine. Boy, the NFL does it really well. And, you know, but you get to this point and it's like, oh, can we just start getting to actual, like, football? Because I really want to start seeing things versus, you know, dudes in sweats throwing, you know, 50-yard balls to guys with no pressure, no coverage. Come on.
Our thoughts about preseason and exhibition and all that is well documented. We don't put any value at all in it because it's not the real game. When the real games start, that's when we start actually
Realistically, all you're getting out of preseason is your roster trimmed. That's what preseason's for. It's either
the coaches
either
to see who they want to keep and who they want to cut.
Yeah. Let some of your newer or more up and coming players go out there, get a little game, you know, game speed, get warmed up, you know, let that first team offense go out there and do a drive. And then after that, you're just paring your roster down. That's all you're doing.
That's it. All right. All two or three people that are here for the half season baseball breakdown, let's give them what they were looking for. Let's give the people what they want. The Texas Rangers are leading the AL West by 2 games over the Houston Astros. Neither one of us picked the Texas Rangers to make the playoffs.
No, I had the Rangers finishing third this year behind the Astros and the Mariners. Now, that could shake out. Texas is 2 games up on Houston. Seattle is 6 back. The Angels have faded so hard here going into the break. But they're still mathematically well within striking distance. But their injuries are piling. I just love to laugh at the Angels because, you know, that's the other thing that I can't stand, especially if you're on Twitter, is the Shohei Ohtani meat writing that goes on Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
Let us appreciate greatness. You don't have to force feed us. That we know he's good. We know he's great. We know he's doing things that either haven't been done since, you know, 1909 or that have never been done. But, you know, it's funny because every time they talk about what a great game him and Mike Trout had, if you're on a Twitter feed, somewhere in there, someone's going to post the meme of the Chris Paul hits the three to bring the team within 42 because that's exactly what you get. And that is why I call Shohei Ohtani Sideshow Shohei, because until a team gets their hands on him and can figure out how to handle him without turning the whole thing into a sideshow, nobody's winning anything.
He's handling himself just fine. The Angels lose because they're the Angels, not because they have Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. But, well, that's great, but what? Well, let's see, 1-9 in their last 10 games.
that's not Ohtani's fault. He pitched
one of those at least.
He's been mostly great pitching.
I agree.
His bad outings have been like better than a lot of guys' good outings.
I just don't see a franchise that's committed to winning accepting the way that the Angels have handled him.
So you don't think wherever he goes, they're going to give him the opportunity to still be the two-way guy? Do you think they're going to make him choose?
I think there's a way. What I think teams need to do is figure out a better way or a different way to make him the two-way guy that doesn't throw off your entire pitching rotation for him.
I understand where you're coming from, but I guess my comeback would be if the Angels had a decent pitching rotation around him, they wouldn't be thrown off. It would be if their guys were actually any good around Ohtani. It wouldn't be such a big deal. Who's their second best starter after him? Is Griffin Canning?
It might be. They're
you know, they're not very good. It's not Ohtani's fault. It's not Mike Trout's fault. They're just not.
If you threw him into a team with, let's say, a great starting rotation, you know, let's say you threw him onto the Braves, you're not adjusting Spencer Strider's starting schedule because this is a Shohei day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're probably right. They might, but you're probably right.
All these teams, you're not throwing the Dodgers rotation into flux. They keep talking about him going to all these different teams, but once you put him in, if it becomes Sideshow Shohei time like it is in Anaheim, then it becomes an issue. So until somebody figures out how to handle him properly, it's a carnival attraction. That's why I call it Sideshow. Nothing against him. He's great. But this, the two-way player thing, and when you're great at both, it presents a problem.
I don't know if I haven't talked to Shohei. I don't know him like that. I don't know if he's going to insist wherever he goes that it's the same as it is with the Angels. If he has to have 5 days off between every start, I don't know if that's
right.
His rule or the Angels rule. I actually don't know that. So it might be different where he goes, but it might not. I actually don't know. I agree in general that the Braves wouldn't tell Spencer Strider, you got to, you know, wait a day because we got to skip you because Shohei has his turn right now. But they might. If he's that important, if he does say, this is how I perform, this is what makes me as great as I am, is that I don't have to worry about pitching for 5 days, not four. And that's what the difference is. And I insist on that. Who's going to say no? Like, he's so good. Again, this is not the Angels' fault. The Angels sucking is not because of Shohei Ohtani. So all 29 other teams should say, okay, we'll take a chance on you doing that.
Sorry. Cute factor was down here. You're number one.
And that's why she's cute, Factor.
She came down here to give me a hug because she's going to bed. So.
Okay.
She was at a birthday party, so I didn't even realize that she had come home.
Oh, is she all caked up? Is she all...
Yeah, I think she's all caked up.
Okay. She sounds all sugared up right then, right?
But yeah, just in time. Well, I told them they could stay home because they do summer school, you know, not summer school, but it's run through the school system. It's like, it's glorified daycare.
Okay.
And I told them they could stay home tomorrow, so they don't have to go to bed as super early tonight. So they're very excited because I'm home with them tomorrow.
That's good.
So, sorry, you were on a thing there, and I got distracted.
I don't even remember. I was blabbing as I normally do.
And you were going though.
Yeah,
freestyling is pretty good.
You get me going. I can go. We can both go.
Okay,
that's why we are the kings of non sequitur.
But we got that part out. So, you know, question about that division is: do the Rangers sustain? They have the offense to clearly. I don't. That this has just become. I mean, what this team is? They're just pounding people all season now. But it's just, you know, we haven't seen this from them. This is more of a recent thing. Well, you've got Houston just laying in the weeds. They have the track record, and they're just right there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I had
the Mariners,
Seattle as the wild card, and Houston to win the division. So we had the same two making the playoffs, just flip flopped.
Right. So I had the Mariners, who are still right there. That's a team with pitching, and that's always been a team with pitching and kind of iffy offense, and that's exactly where they are.
So the Mariners are going to do that thing that annoys me, where they decide that there's an arbitrary number that one of their really good pitchers is going to hit, and they're going to have to just stop using him.
Yeah,
because
all of a sudden you're going to find out that Gilbert got sat down, or he's going to start going four innings, or Kirby's going to get shut down. I mean, they already lost. They lost Robbie Ray, right, to start the season right away.
Right, but they found the number four in this kid, Wu. And they're just gonna stop using him somewhere in the second half. They're just gonna say you're done. We don't. We're going for a championship, but we're gonna take one of our best starters and just shelve him because we decided that when he gets to 80 innings or whatever, that his arm might fall off. So we're just gonna stop.
I would say, and I had the Angels in fourth and the A's in fifth. So that I had right so far. A's, we were all both on record saying the A's might be the worst team in baseball, and they're right there. They're trying.
That is not even something to brag about. That is so obvious.
When you are at the halfway point of the season and your run differential is -248.
Oh, my God.
I believe
25
it was mid-May. It was mid-May before they got a win from a starter.
Where did they get 25 wins from? I don't even.
They had a little. They had that little run right around the anti walkout protest. You know, where they actually went and filled the stadium because they're trying to convince the owner to sell because they actually want to keep the team in Oakland. They were trying to say, hey, no, no, it's not the fans. We're not coming here because of you. They had a little run around there where they played okay.
Which is about the best they could hope.
Yeah, okay for them would be leaps and bounds better than they've been.
So that's my assessment of the one team of the West is the Mariners are going to fall off because they're going to do that thing that I hate that where they take
yeah.
a talented player that might help them over the top and just say, stop playing. We don't want you to play anymore.
And then I saw that early, like with King Felix. I remember those years.
Oh man, I was looking back on some podcast descriptions. I wasn't listening to old shows, but I was looking back on some descriptions. I forget what I was looking for.
Of this
and
show?
And I came across that I remembered that we had completely excoriated the Braves because, if you remember, they did that shit with Acuna. They actually told Acuna before the season, they did the Chris Bryant thing where they said somebody else had earned a starting job and Acuna had to go back down for seasoning. And 2 weeks later, after his Super 8 number or whatever that magical number is, where you gain that extra year of control over the player, once that passed, magically Acuna was ready to come up and he hasn't been.
Well, if you look at how great he is, MVP caliber. He clearly needed those extra 2 weeks of seasoning. This is why he's an MVP.
That made all the difference. Chris Bryant won an MVP as well, and that was because Mike Olt was the
I will not call our AL West predictions a complete loss. We'll call this one a punt. Like, we didn't do awful. We did not completely crater on this division. I'm going to give us a semi-passing grade.
We didn't see the Rangers just bludgeoning everybody like this, so kudos to them. And without DeGrom, too. That was the big offseason acquisition. He got hurt, another surprise. So they're doing it without that. So we'll see if they stay on top.
Their pitching is aight, and that's all you need when you're 531 runs at the break.
Yes. you don't need great. You just need aight. That is correct. So in the AL Central, AL Central.
I had the White Sox. I am not a fan the way you are a fan. I cannot. Now the word is over the break here that they're backing up the truck, and they need to.
Right.
Any piece that they have that is not a core foundational piece going forward, it needs to go.
Right.
Tim
Ben
Anderson needs to go.
I don't know what's wrong with him, if he didn't
get hurt again.
Right.
I thought he was a goner, you know.
Graveman can go. Lance Lynn can go. All those guys.
Yeah. And just blow this thing up because this is not a roster on paper that should be 16 games below 500.
No, but I had a feeling, unfortunately. So.
And the pitching was what I fell in love with them. And some of their pitchers are starting to come back into shape, other than Lance Lynn. Good luck figuring out what you're getting. Giolito has been all over the place.
They've all been completely inconsistent.
Yeah.
Every last one of them. Kopech, Giolito, Lynn.
Kopech especially. Oh, my God. There's a podcast I listen to. And you can just hear the pain because sometimes these guys are doing this podcast live while Michael Kopech has been pitching. And it was one of those early starts where I think he gave up like the 5 home runs.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like, I was catching this, these guys recorded this. And I think one of the guys had him starting for him that day in fantasy. And just, that was quite a listen.
So basically, he's just sitting there cutting his own vein on live on the air.
Yeah, it was F-bomb.
Right.
Like, you know, just left and right. So, I got that completely wrong. I did have Cleveland second. You had Cleveland winning, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So right now, at the break, you look like a genius. They're a half game up.
There's no genius with a team that's 500. Happens to be in first place. The division is just terrible.
Yeah, yeah. They they've got that pitching factory, which is why you picked them. But now it turns out they can't hit.
I kind of actually picked them because they keep hitting. They're like the fleas.
Oh, that's
they're,
right.
They're like
you liked the hitting part of
it. I like the hitting, and they didn't hit for shit the first half of the year, but starting to come around a little bit.
They just keep – so the young arms, these guys who they've called up, Bybee, Williams, Logan Allen, who they sent down. They sent Logan Allen down to make room for Quantrill and Savale, who have just been going out and getting destroyed every turn since they sent Logan Allen down. I have a feeling in the second half you'll see one of those guys lose a rotation spot or get dealt because those are not your future.
I can see that.
And then the Twins are right there too. And they're the Twins. They're pitching very well lately.
They got the
rounding into shape. Gray's been good. Ober's been good. So I still think that the Twins are the better of those two teams. I think they're more complete. They're also the only team in the AL Central with a positive run differential. I think that the Twins pull this one out. I think, but I'm not confident 100% because that Cleveland pitching is superior. And if they do move some of those pitching pieces, maybe they can shore up their offense a little bit, which has been anemic.
I think the Twins pitching is about equal to the Guardians, which is a bit of a surprise. But I think they got a real good foundation there with Gray and Joey Ryan and Ober. Pablo Lopez can be good when he's on.
That last start he had before the break.
Yeah.
I had dabbled back into DFS baseball. I started looking at things a little bit more because at the beginning of the season I had tried it and I was terrible. But I realized that doing the picking in one game where you can do that easily in football, you cannot do that easily in baseball, right? Somebody throws up an 0 for right. But if you take a block of games, it's a lot easier. And then if you look at a pitching matchup that's favorable and you just stack a lineup against that bad pitcher, you can actually do really well. But the funny part is I actually somehow managed to win money with one of my lineups that night that Pablo Lopez had that 12 strikeout, shutout, complete game. And I did not have him as one of my two pitchers. And I was stunned. Because I think he had 50 fantasy points in that game. I was absolutely stunned that my lineup still managed to place as heavily as he was started by all the other teams. I was like, wow, that was – I haven't seen anybody hit a 50 yet. But I also figured out – I also figured out of stacking my lineup with, like, you know, Ellie De La Cruz.
he's kind of good.
That works. But we'll talk about him later. But no, I think Minnesota's got the inside track here, but you think Cleveland might?
I don't know because like I said, Minnesota's pitching to me is up there and I love Bybee. I think he's the real deal.
I think all three of those guys, I think Williams, Bybee and Logan Allen are all there, you know, that's their rotation next year. Plus two.
Yeah, but you mentioned those other older guys that are kind of not holding up their end of the bargain.
They're mid.
that might be the downfall. So who do I have to come out on top? I'm going to stick with Cleveland because of the hitting, because they're finally those fleas of Ahmed Rosario and Jimenez and
Stephen Kwan.
Then they got Naylor, and his brother has come up now as catcher, and he's doing pretty good. So I think Cleveland gets it done because their bats are finally starting to wake up. The Twins' bats are so inconsistent. Like you get Buxton one day, and then he'll go 0 for 4, and Max Kepler, he doesn't know what he's doing half the time. I think that'll be the Twins' downfall, is their bats are not as consistent.
Yeah, their lineup's a bit strange. You know, they've had to rely on – I mean, Correa was in a first-half slump, and then they've had to rely on some of these call-up type guys or these, you know, quad-A guys, you know. like Edouard Julien and I forget who the other guy is, but he's definitely Jose Miranda. These are like quad A guys.
Yeah, they're still waiting on Kirilov. Yeah.
Yeah. So and Joey Gallo with his, you know,
oh,
198
he's so
average.
Bad. He's so bad.
They banned the shift and he still can't hit 200.
Well, you can't get a base hit if you can't make contact. I mean, it doesn't matter how many defenders are out there if you miss the ball all the time. So
I love Joey Gallo. He's helped win me money at times over the years because I had him when he at least was hitting, you know, hitting tanks for the Rangers. But it's not working out so well for him in Minnesota.
No, he needs to see the ball better. He needs some eyeglasses or something. So in the West, we talked about the West. In the East, Tampa, who never loses, but at least they finally started to lose. And the Orioles are battling for the top, which is definitely a surprise, but maybe shouldn't be because the Orioles kind of built their team the way the Astros did, the way the Cubs did. It just sucks.
Out of my mouth.
And then here come all these young kids all at once deciding to be good. So they're right there, and I don't know if the Rays can hold them off, but I know that my pick of the Yankees to start the season, and you had the Yankees as the wild card and Toronto to win the division. Neither one of them are looking good, the Yanks or the Jays. I don't think either one of them are catching the Rays or the Orioles.
Well, Toronto is 7 games back. You know, that. The Rays jumped out to such a fast start that you got every team in this division well over 500. And 7, 8, and 9 games back for the Jays, the Yanks, and the Red Sox. And that is obscene. I mean, every single one of these teams would be winning the AL Central.
yeah, they would.
By a lot.
They absolutely would. My only sort of pushback is that I don't think these teams are quite as dominant as those records would indicate. Like Toronto's 9 games over, but they're only a plus 34 on the year. They're so inconsistent. Yeah. The Yankees, we've chronicled their problems. You would think that they have a losing record the way they've played, and they're only plus 20 on the season, but they're 9 games or 7 games over 500. I don't know if they're gonna. I don't know if that record's gonna last. I think they've gotten They've gotten lucky. They've gotten some wins that they probably didn't deserve. And you know, this is with when they had Aaron Judge, who they don't have, and don't know if they're gonna get him back anytime soon with that busted up toe of his. And the Red Sox are only plus 27 and happen to be over 500. I don't know how they're doing. I think it's kind of a lot of smoke and mirrors going on with all those teams.
No, but Baltimore, they're the ones that are doing it, like you said. They're doing it what we've always admired. They build from within. They make shrewd trades. They get these farm hands, and just like with Houston, but the difference is every team does that. But it's when you get all these guys and they all hit, and that's what's happening right now with Baltimore. They didn't just get these guys. They get these guys, they call them up, and boom, immediate impact. That's rare.
And keep calling up more guys to fortify it. Like, they're still calling up kids. So it feels like every week they call up a new one.
Yeah, another one who just inserts immediately into the starting lineup and rakes.
And just starts rake. Yep, start raking.
If they have a downfall, it will be their pitching. But they're dealing from so much strength in that farm system. And here you are. You know, 2 games out of first, one of the best records, second best record right now? Yeah, second best record in the American League. They are in a position to go get some arms.
Which is so different because in years past, this is actually the perfect time for them to do that thing where they develop a middle reliever into an all-star out of nowhere and then flip him for prospects. At the trade deadline, like this Cano guy, Yennier Cano, that pitched in the All-Star game.
They're all-star.
This classic, Bautista, the closer, is an all-star too, because they've both been down.
No, but I mean, this kid's an all-star. Like in years past, he'd be their only all-star, and then they would trade him at the deadline.
But this year he's one of many Orioles all-stars. But yeah, that's why it's going to be so interesting, because this is their move to develop this guy completely out of nowhere and then flip him for actual prospects, and you never hear from him again. It's like,
yeah, no,
that
lineup is an absolute joke. Rutschman, Mullen, Santander,
Austin Hayes.
What they're doing.
Gunnar Henderson. Gunnar
Henderson.
Raking.
They just called up this Westberg kid. He's raking.
Mm-hmm.
These are not all homegrown pieces. Some of these were trades, you know, that they moved into their system. I think Westberg they got from the Yankees.
Yeah, but it's another kid. It's just another kid that
another guy,
gets in there
another
and rakes.
Piece. Right. Who's not there? Trey Mancini, you know, all these guys who, you know, it was all sure, those types of guys. Those guys are gone. They're actually moving in, you know, young. The Orioles aren't going anywhere for a while. They're going to have that window mm-hmm. now through the next, 4 or 5 years while they control all these guys for sure. They're going to do some damage.
And with all of that, I'm still not taking them to overtake Tampa.
No, the Rays just have that. Yeah. That juju juice that they use to take these off-cast players. They're the opposite of these other teams that we talked about. They just take everybody else's trash and turn them into, like, a cohesive lineup that you just can't stop.
Amazing. Because
you look at their lineup and you go, those guys. But then you look up and they're beating your brains in.
Every day it's a different guy. That's the crazy part about it is they just – I don't know if there's a rotation that they have – that the manager has set, Kevin Cash.
Yeah.
That he just says, okay, on the fourth day of this week, Luke Raley is going to go 2-for-5 with 4 RBI.
And then tomorrow
like,
night,
what?
Jose Siri is going to hit 2 bombs.
Now, the next night after that his name was on the tip of my tongue and it slipped off. Another random guy.
Yeah, just some random Lau.
Random lower Lau is going to
hit
a home run. The guy that I hate because every time I don't bet him in
single. Manuel Margot, he'll get a few hits.
The guy that when I don't use him in these single game fantasy lineups is when he decides to go crazy and have a great game. So I'm gonna have to look him up because he's on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, it's not a Rosarina, is it?
No, it's Doc Paredes.
Oh, sure, yeah, just out of nowhere.
Yeah, today he's gonna go 3-for-5 with 3 RBI. Like what?
So I had Toronto, Tampa, and the Yankees all making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. Yeah. I was right on Tampa. Baltimore should make it if they don't fall apart in the second half here. But I don't know if the other ones make it at all. That's a tough road. Right now, the Yankees are only a game out of the wild card right now. This is the funny thing. Toronto right now is a wild card. Right now.
Yeah.
The Yankees are a game out in the wild card. The Red Sox, the last place team, are 2 games out of the wild card.
Crazy. But again, I'm not impressed by those teams. I think there's a little bit of a smoke and mirrors going on, a little bit of bad competition that they've played and kind of – there's a lot of games those teams have won that I don't think they should have, quite frankly. And the Yankees are on their way down. They can't get Judge back on the field. The Red Sox are just
– I mean, they're booing
Donaldson. What you're getting.
They're just booing Donaldson off the field now.
Well, they cut Hicks, so the fans got to find somebody else to
hate on.
They need
a new, right,
they need a new
reason why we're losing all these games.
It's all your fault, Donaldson. You suck. It's all on you.
It's like White Sox fans. Listening to White Sox sports talk radio, unfortunately, for all those years living in Chicago, there would always be some random guy that the fans would always pick on who's like, this is the reason we're losing. And it was always like, it wasn't always the star. It was usually, you know, the guy who hit 8th in the lineup.
Yeah, you got to find somebody to hate. Yeah.
You need that scapegoat. And right now they're goating Josh Donaldson and not in the good way.
All right, we are into the after show. Those of you who know where to find us, you have found us.
That's right. So now we can do the NL. Didn't. NL goes to the after show.
That's right. Let's see. In the NL West, of course, the Dodgers are the Kings, and I don't know how the Diamondbacks are sitting there right with them. That's one of my worst calls of the year because I had them last, and there they are sitting there.
I had them fourth.
First. Yeah?
Yeah.
You talk about smoke and mirrors.
I don't see it. I still don't see it.
I don't either.
They're there.
They are. 52 wins. There they are. They are right there. More wins than anyone else in the NL, with the exception of the Braves and Marlins. What?
Now I will take a star for that one. Thank you. I had the Marlins in the playoffs, so
yeah.
That's my biggest win out of all of this.
So you had the Padres to win the West over the Dodgers.
Boy, they just show those flashes, and then it's gone.
Yeah,
I don't get it. There's so much talent on that team. This has got to be one of the biggest letdowns in all of baseball. That team is too talented to be four games under 500.
So this is a little bit what I talk about of smoke and mirrors by the AL East and all those teams. They're so dominant. They're all over 500 and they're this and they're that. Three of those five teams in the AL East that are over 500 have worse plus minuses than the Padres. But the Padres we describe as disappointing, and those other teams are so great. I think there's some bad luck with the Padres. I think they show up offensively most every night, and their pitching shows up most every night, and yet somehow they've lost more games than they've won. I just think there's they find ways to lose. There's sort of the San Diego Chargers, and then I don't know if Anthony Lynn is managing the Padres or what, but they just invent ways to lose games that they shouldn't lose.
They were losing games to the Pirates in the last, I think, week and a half, where the Pirates are just like scoring four runs in the ninth inning to beat them out of nowhere.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to bounce back and make any kind of run at the playoffs, but I don't think they're that bad. I don't think they're four games under 500 bad at all. I don't think they're six games worse than the San Francisco Giants.
Well, here's what's shocking, you know, just looking
better
at plus
minus than the Giants.
Yes, but they've given up the least amount of runs, but they haven't scored that many.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams that have scored more runs than the Cubs have scored more runs than the Padres.
Yeah, that offense should show up a lot more than it does.
Right.
Absolutely.
So that's the problem. So now, if this is a case of first half cold bats and those bats wake up, could make some moves in the second half. But
they scapegoated Nelson Cruz and cut him, so it was all his fault.
Right. He was the scapegoat. But they could move up, but I could – and the Giants always kind of baffle me. I never think the Giants are very good, but they're there.
Yeah, they have that style of play that kind of suits them. A lot of 2-1, 3-2 games in the cold of night there in San Fran.
Right, plus they play when everyone's asleep.
But that park, the park is cavernous, and the ball does not travel at all at night. So you know who they are, you know how they get it done, you know Alex Cobb is going to throw a shutout here and there, and that's just who they are. So the Giants are who we thought they were.
They're in third, exactly where I had them.
I had them fourth. I actually had the Rockies over them.
No, I had the Rockies in last. I will take it wherever I can. That looks good so far. Yeah, the Rockies, no, it's not happening. They're one of the worst teams in baseball.
I thought Chris Bryant had a comeback in him, apparently.
He can't stay healthy.
Yeah, can't stay on the field.
I mean, I know people trashed the Cubs, I included, when they got rid of all these guys with Rizzo and Bryant and Baez, but the track record of those guys since they've left the Cubs, not – Rizzo had a good season. He had that 32 homer season. last year. But he also did that in between multiple DL stints. And this year, I don't even know where he is. I know he's still on the Yankees, but, I mean, it. Whatever he's done
there.
Feels very empty this season. So,
yeah,
and Baez,
he's just there.
He's
out to lunch.
Yeah. He took the bag, right?
Yep.
He went to Detroit, and he swings. I mean, you thought he was a free swinger when he was with the Cubs. Oh, my. At least he's not running to the batter's box on pitches down the middle like your boy Eloy. You saw that, right?
I didn't see it, but I read about it.
Oh, my God. It's what you read. It's worse than you'd imagine. I guess he called for time and didn't get it, so he turned
yeah,
and walked
just...
to the dugout. And the pitcher just 76-mile-an-hour curveball right over the center of the plate.
Sure. There's no batter there. Why not? Yeah, just
man.
Lob it in there.
Yeah. It's exactly what it was. And he just walked back. We already talked about the AL Central.
Yeah.
Man, those White Sox.
That's a perfect microcosm of the White Sox season.
Be glad. Could you imagine Hawk calling these games?
Man, I wish I could cuss. God damn it. Whole team needs to go grab some bench. Oh, Hawk.
He'd be telling youth hockey league stories. All season long.
You know, when I was playing with Yaz, we didn't tolerate stuff like this. I'm telling you right now. Yaz would have all these guys running laps. You think the Northwestern coach is doing hazing? Yaz would really have these guys.
Oh, man. What, the Central?
The
West.
Dodgers Diamondbacks being tied in the Giants 2.5 back. How is that shaking out?
I mean, the history would show, and I think everything will bear out, that the Dodgers will win that.
Yeah.
I would
concur.
Be shocked
if
they
get it on the record.
Just because they have that experience of playing September baseball and October baseball that the Diamondbacks, I think that's just, you know, the lights get too bright. The clock strikes midnight. The Diamondbacks pull a Pirates in the second half here and turn back into the pumpkin.
Totally agree with that. With the Central, speaking of pumpkins or carriages turning back into pumpkins, the Cincinnati Reds on top of the Central, that can't possibly last, can it?
They've got the energy right now. They've got that. This Ellie De La Cruz is just—he's getting almost Shohei Ohtani levels annoying on social media, and not him. I'm just talking about all the dick writers who just put these posts out there. I don't need to just let. I know he's doing great things. It's fantastic. I don't need it. Again, let me enjoy it without being reminded of it all the time. But why not? They got Votto back. There's a lot of energy. Their pitching is atrocious. That's what will probably do them in unless they make some moves here. But does the Brewers scare anybody?
No, they don't. They don't. The Cubs shouldn't scare anybody, and the Pirates already deflated.
Yeah, Cubs are nice. They're better. They're better. Like I said, they'd be. I had them finishing third. That's exactly where they are.
I had them third.
I figured they'd finish somewhere at or just under 500. I could see them easily winning 78, maybe 80 games. And be competitive. You know, that's the thing I wanted out of my Cubs this year. Is just don't go out there and just get annihilated. It seemed like I had my phone on me last year, and every game would start. I'd get the alert, MLB, Cubs about to start, and 10 minutes later I'd get an alert that they were losing. And that's not happening as much this year. That offense has been – the offense has actually been good, not great. they've got some nice pieces. That run that Chris Morrell went on when he got called back up was absurd, where it seemed like he was going to hit a home run just every game for the rest of the season. They've got a great defense up the middle. I mean, they've got the best double play combo in the league. Their defensive metrics are through the roof. Their starting rotation's been good. It's one of the best starting rotations in baseball by the numbers. The most improved starting rotation in baseball, and they're still 500. So after the season, when they fire Dave
Justin
Ross.
Justin Steele to the All-Star game tonight.
Yeah. After this season, they'll fire Dave Ross. They'll get an actual, you know, he's that. The next guy will be the guy who will develop this team, I think, into something more competitive, because this is such an easily winnable division every year.
I'm wondering what in the world happened to the team that we both picked to not only win the division, but be the only team out of this division to make the playoffs, the St. Louis Cardinals. You want to talk about a team that finds ways to lose.
Yeah,
holy mackerel.
I completely 100% take back what I said about the Padres being the most disappointing team in baseball, because the Cardinals roster, it is good. There's no excuse. I cannot think of a reason why they're in the position that they're in. Their pitching has not been very good. But to be, man, 38-52 at the break. It is, man.
Multiple smart baseball writers that I've read say that it's actually as simple as this is just how important Yadier Molina was to the Cardinals, that though all those pitchers are much, much worse because their catcher is Wilson Contreras instead of Yadier Molina. And I'm hard pressed to disagree with that. It's like they
are you
all
goading,
look
you're
lost
goading
out
him.
There.
You goaded Wilson Contreras.
I did. The Cardinals organization made him the GOAT first. Remember when they demoted him from catching about a week and a half after he signed that big contract?
And they told him he was going to play first base.
You're not the full-time catcher anymore because you suck, and we should have known that
money.
Before you got here. Yeah, they gave
him
the bag.
Yeah.
And then he got there, and they said, oh, wow, you're even worse than we thought.
Yeah.
And they're so desperate, they put him back at catcher. That didn't last.
And I'm watching the Cubs run out like Tucker Barnhart and Yan Gomes.
Who are offensively no comparison to Wilson Contreras, but
apparently they can frame pitches and call better ball games because that's
defensively Contreras has always been a train wreck, and you know that.
I mean, so was Mike Piazza.
If Contreras could hit like Mike Piazza, I don't know if the Cubs would have let him go. They might have kept a hold of him.
But that was it too. Is Contreras with the Cubs was a great hitter.
He was
for that position.
I agree with that, but I think this is just it's that simple. Is Flaherty doesn't have Yadi to figure things out.
Yeah.
Steven Matz doesn't have Yadi back there to help him out. All those Cardinals pitchers look lost with Wilson Contreras catching them. I think it's that simple. We got that one dead wrong.
And Pittsburgh is exactly who we thought they were.
Yeah, they already tumbled back down.
And we talked about this on previous shows. Like it's going to happen. Just give it time.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on an extend. They went from being a game up to 8 games back. It felt like in a 10-game stretch, the way they faded out of first place.
They went down and went down hard.
Yeah, that was when the Reds made that surge and the Pirates. And everybody was just whooping the crap out of the Pirates at that point. Everybody was sweeping them.
By the way, this is a test of the Craig Kimbrel corollary that we've always had is you don't want to use him in a non-safe situation. The NL is trying to use him in a safe situation. However, it's a game that doesn't matter, doesn't count. So does that fit into the corollary?
It might cancel it out, but
it doesn't matter. But we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, let's see. Craig Kimbrell's pitching. Oh, who gave up the lead? Oh, it was Felix Bautista.
Yep, got jacked by random Rockies catcher. I don't even remember his name. Diaz.
Einar Diaz. Is that who it is?
Is it Einar or Elias or something? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Hang
random
on.
Rockies catcher.
Einar, is it? I remember right now.
Remember Einar? About 15 years ago, he played.
That's why I said that. Elias Diaz. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Random
that's the other thing that they need to.
I told you,
random
thing. Rockies catcher.
Because, again, this is why the All-Star game is stupid, because you don't need this every team needs a guy on the team rule anymore, because we can all see the team. You needed that rule to get exposure out there when the only way you ever knew these guys was through box scores in the Sun-Times. Now everybody knows who these guys are.
I agree you don't need it anymore, but I think it's the only cool thing about the All-Star game is every team gets to see their guy, you know, out there. Every kid in every city knows that they're going to get their guy.
Do you think you're excited that Elias Diaz was in the All-Star game, or that Michael Lorenzen was in the All-Star game?
The adults do not get excited at that, but the kids, yes, I think they do.
Okay.
I think that's the thing that distinguishes the Major League All-Star game from the others.
Well, I can tell you, having kids, I have a son. The amount of baseball he consumes at 8 versus the amount of baseball that I consumed at 8, night and day.
Really?
Yeah, hardly any. I mean, I'm thinking about it. When I was 8, I'm watching the 84 Cubs.
Right.
I'm
watching them with you.
And right, we were all watching that. It was a magical season that ended in disaster. But he doesn't have that same. He likes playing baseball, but he doesn't really watch much baseball. And again, we don't have paid TV. We don't have any TV service either.
Okay, well,
can't watch the Brewers on Netflix because he likes the Brewers. I don't know why, but
he lives in Wisconsin. What's he supposed to like?
The Cubs. My daughter likes the Cubs.
Yeah, that's because you indoctrinated her.
I did.
My point I was about to bring up was I'm shocked that he's not as into it as you were, because there's so many more opportunities for him to watch than we had as kids. But if you're a household that pulled the plug, then I guess there isn't quite as many opportunities.
My kids like playing sports. They don't really watch sports, which I'm okay with. I'm okay that they like playing baseball. And, you know, I was at a soccer game tonight, and he likes playing soccer. I took him to try out golf over the weekend, and he went and he was hitting golf balls at the driving range, and he had a lot of fun. Like, that's fine. I'm fine having a kid that enjoys playing as much as rather than watching.
That's interesting, but I wonder how different it would be, for instance, with my mobile carrier service, T-Mobile. They've offered for the last, like, decade, I think, and I've taken advantage every year. I just happen to get the baseball package for free every year because I happen to be with T-Mobile, who happens to be a big sponsor of baseball.
Right.
So I wonder how different it would be if he had, you know, with the click of a finger on his phone, the opportunity to watch any game he wanted. I think it'd be a little different.
True.
I know how we would be if we had the chance to watch any game we wanted when we were 8. We would never do
anything but
watch baseball.
I would have watched a lot of baseball.
We would have watched
day and
night.
I was lucky because my team was on all the time.
Right.
I could watch it for free anytime I wanted. I would say my kids probably consume a little bit more football because that's on in the house during the fall.
Right.
Because I will pay for I pay for my Sling TV so I can get my Red Zone, and I make sure that I've got, you know, the Thursday night game on Monday night. So I watch a lot of, you know, so all the sports I don't watch this time of year, I make up for by watching a lot of that during football season.
Kimbrel's working it. He's got two outs and he's down to Kyle Tucker. So he's
okay.
One strike away.
You've even got it on, which is more than I could. I don't even have it on.
Yeah. I definitely don't enjoy it as much as I did when I was a kid at all. Like it's
no, it used to be a huge deal.
Yeah.
All-star game.
The idea of getting so many of these guys in the game kind of rankles me because you're taking out clearly better players in the third and fourth inning just because
right.
You got so many scrubs that you need to get in. And I don't necessarily agree with that part of it. So it makes it a little, however, they're doing it right. They found a way to finagle the lineup where Tucker just drew a walk with two outs and that brings up the hometown kid, Julio Rodriguez. So this is actually very cool. And,
yeah,
I don't know how they
can. So he can send everybody home happy, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So they actually got that set up the right way. But my problem is normally, in this spot, he would have already came into the game in the fourth and been done by the sixth, so that therefore a random Tigers outfielder would have been up now because, you know, they had to use everybody. But they got Julio, so they made it work. Kind of like the World Baseball Classic where they just happened to make it Trout versus Ohtani at the end.
They got lucky.
They got lucky. So we'll see how this turns out.
I was surprised Tyler Huntley didn't make an appearance in this.
You're talking about Joe Girardi getting a call for all these replacements.
That's why I was actually going to say if I was good at making memes, I was going to make one of Tyler Huntley and talk about how he'd just been voted.
Two touchdown passes.
How many? Three?
Two? I thought it was two.
All-pro
quarterback.
Pro bowler, Tyler Huntley. You can never take it away from him.
That's right.
And Joe Girardi, forever.
Like all-star catcher Joe Girardi.
Forever. Starting
never
catcher,
mind,
right?
They called eight other catchers before that and couldn't get a hold of them.
I mean, that would all be bad that day, too.
Yeah, that was a thing. It happened. Where are we?
We just did the, I think all we have left is the East.
So the Central, what's going to happen? Reds are going to hold off the Brewers, or are the Cubs making a run, or are the Cardinals going
to? No, Cubs are not. They're not set up to, I don't see, if they were closer, maybe they become buyers, but I think they just stay the course here. I don't think they need to make any moves. I think there's too many teams ahead of them in the wild card. I don't think they're going to jump over. I prefer the Reds just because I don't want them to be the Brewers. But I just don't know because how does – I mean, we're at the break now. Boy, that break sometimes just – the magic just gone, right?
Right, right. You don't know what the Reds are going to come back and do. No idea.
Right. So, I mean, if the Reds stay – oh, it looks like you walked him too. The Reds stay hot. They've got that juice or that fire that the Brewers just don't have.
Yeah, the Reds have got all the mojo working, that's for sure.
They do. If they can keep that going, I think they can do it because they've just got the energy and the fun. They just have to figure out a way to have a starting rotation with a sub-6 ERA, and they'll be fine. It's bad.
Yeah, it is. I'm going
to... The Brewers
just
kind of bore me, and you know, maybe that's the recipe, right? Go with safe and boring, and they're just going to kind of always be there. I think they always kind of find a way to fall apart in August and September because their manager so horribly mismanages their bullpen throughout the year that all those arms fall off. It's what he did to Hader for years. So I've always kind of thought that Council's a joke coach, which will work against the Brewers as we go down the stretch.
And I'm going to go with the Brewers because I think the Reds are going to do one of those acts that you talked about, that after the All-Star break, they just kind of forget how to play, and they're in over their head anyway. They've scored more runs than any team in the division. They've also given up more runs than any team in the division.
Now, the break is probably the worst thing. They're the team that probably gets affected the worst by the break.
Right. Right. They just come back and don't quite know how to get it. Unless Ellie De La Cruz really is all that. If he is him, if he is the MLB version of him, and he's really that good, then maybe he carries
Justin
them all
Jefferson?
The way. Yes. hey, Justin Jefferson has never stolen three bases in a game. So,
two of them on one pitch.
So if he is that guy, then maybe he carries them all the way. But I definitely trust the Brewers pitching more so than the Reds, for sure.
And it's not like it's even that great. It's just the Reds
it's
starting.
Better
the
than
Reds
the
pitching
Reds.
It's horrendous.
Yes, it is.
So unless they're just going to bludgeon teams the rest of the way here, which they could. We'll see. Because, that's the one thing about the break is how much changes. You know, it's the only sport that has this extended middle of the season break for everybody, and just how many things change.
And the NBA, too.
I notice it no more with baseball, though.
Right.
That teams just, they come back and it's like all of a sudden that second half is just totally different than the first half. And I think it happens to more in baseball than I see it happen in basketball. Obviously, I pay more attention to baseball, but you don't hear about that as much in basketball of these teams that come back from these breaks, and they're just different teams.
No, baseball definitely happens more. I think the being a daily sport as opposed to the NBA every other day or whatever, you're more prone to that break kind of jarring your routine. You're used to just getting up every morning and getting out to the park, and now you got to go 4 or 5 days without that, and that kind of messes everything up. Kimbrel blew away Jose Ramirez, so he got into a little trouble, but he wound up through and closing it out for the National League, so good for the NL. They were jumping around celebrating like they had money on it. Like Juan Soto was going crazy like he won a title or something. I don't know what's going on with that, but anyway.
Well, good for those guys.
Yeah. All right, so NL East. With the Braves just dominating and running away, but
the Fish are second. It's the one division I got right? Yes. Braves. Yay me.
You did. So far. So far, so good.
Now, you had the Phillies.
They might get caught from behind. No, actually, I had the Mets.
Well, I had the Mets in second.
You did. The Mets and the Phillies. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. No, not the Phillies.
I had the Mets and the Marlins.
Right.
And then I had both of them making the playoffs, and you laughed so hard at me. When I had the Marlins in the playoffs, I give you the moment to take that back now.
The season's not over yet. It's only halfway done.
But, come on.
The 53 and 39 Marlins are underwater. They're minus five on the season.
Yes, they are.
I'm not putting a whole lot of faith that they're going to keep that
record up. Man. Come on.
Just saying. Just saying. Just pointing out facts.
Just so you know, the Phillies actually have better championship odds right now than the Marlins.
Oh, completely understandable. I'm shocked the Mets don't have better odds still.
No, they don't.
But it's the Marlins.
The Braves are the story. I had the Braves in the World Series. They're really good. There you go. There's my in less detail breakdown of the Braves. They are who we thought they were, or who I thought they were. They are excellent.
And that's what you get at 10:30 in the evening after an hour and a half of non sequitur. They're really good.
They're really good.
They're man. There's not a whole lot of weaknesses on that team.
And they're surging.
Yeah. I don't want to bring this up, but I will anyway. Ronald Acuna being out for so long and being hurt last year, like, how long can he keep this up? I just By the way, he's got me in the first place in my fantasy league at the halfway point. So I'm not trying to put a voodoo on him at all, but I'm just kind of looking like, how long can he keep going? Like, he's hitting a homer every night, you know, one night and stealing a base the other night. He's absolutely catalyst at the top of that order every single night, and they're just riding him. Like, he just sets the table, and then, you know, Olsen comes along, and Austin Riley and Ozuna, and just everybody get on Acuna's back, and he's going to set the table for everybody, and it's working just perfectly. You can't possibly script a better first half. I'm just kind of worried, like, do they ride him too much? Maybe they should give him a day off here and there. I don't know. But so far, so good. Certainly can't argue with their success right now.
No, they're the best team in baseball. They've taken that away from Tampa.
Yep.
With this surge more recently. They've also them in Tampa and Texas are all plus 147, 148, and 149 in our favorite stat, run differential, which is, again, that's obscene.
It is.
And then, because those are the only three teams in baseball over 100.
And they're way over 100.
And they're way over. That just to tell you that those three, so obviously one of these things is not like the other. That's the Rangers in this mix by virtue of those 531 runs scored, which again is absolutely wild. But then you also have the Braves here, who have given up the least amount of runs in the National League. Is that the least in baseball? It is. The Braves have given up the least amount of runs in baseball, and they're plus 147.
It's kind of hard to beat them when you're Mr. Captain Obvious. It's really hard to beat a team when they're bludgeoning you at the plate and then also giving up the least amount of runs.
Yes, when they're, you know, their average win is by you know, over 2.5 runs over the other team.
Yeah.
Consequently, we talk about runs given up. It's the Twins, only one worse than them at 353. Who knew?
Yeah. Go figure, right?
So, but yeah, the Braves are awesome. I will go on record here, even though we haven't had a chance to talk about this. I was completely on the Luis Urias is not hitting 400 camp. By the way, I couldn't handle it. That was as bad as the Shohei stuff to me, was the meter that they had. Guys, people, it was June.
Right. It's not like it's imminent that the season's about to end and he might be near 400.
401 in June. Okay, yes, that's an amazing accomplishment. If he was doing that on August 27th, okay. But no, I was completely of the opinion that, no, this isn't going to happen. He's going to probably hit 360. You know, he's going to have that slump. Hits like a ridiculous amount of balls on the ground. The BABIP will come down. He's going to make some outs to stop people. And it has stopped because now he's hitting, what, 385, 387?
That's stopping the momentum, 385?
Yeah.
Really?
That's stopping the momentum.
I think you're underestimating how fucking incredible that is that he's hitting 380, whatever.
No, it's amazing. But
on July 11th.
Yeah, it's 383. And since he's dipped down, I haven't heard anything about him hitting 400.
He's another person on my fantasy team. He's another reason why I'm in first place. So I know all about his season and his ups and his downs. This dip is like he's hitting like 300 in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
No,
I
understand.
That's a big dip.
The dip is, are you going to hit 400? I wish I could have shorted it because I knew he wasn't going to.
The season still isn't over. The fact that he's that close to it and still has a shot at it is incredible. And watching him, I see why he does it. And he's basically, and I should love it because I own him, and he's, like I said, a big reason why I'm in first. But it's also what I was railing against and complaining about when the rules came in about no shifting. He is the poster child for why no shifting sucks, because he would not be doing this if there were still a shift. He gets so many. It's not baseball anymore. It's a skills competition. It's hitting it through this hole, which they can't defend. And that's all he does. Keeps hitting it through that hole. And sometimes the other hole, the opposite way. But you can't play him to pull the way they're supposed, the way they want to play him to pull, because they're not allowed to anymore. I promise you, if they could still shift, he wouldn't be hitting 380 whatever on July 11th. That is 100% a factor of banning the shift. And so you wouldn't have to hear about this shit if they could still shift the way they're supposed to. Right. And I should love it, because he's trying to make me money right now. But God, no, it's no, he's not gonna. He wouldn't be able to come anywhere close to hit 400. I don't think he's going to hit 400 this season, but I will not sit there and act like that's a big prediction or some sort of incredible. Oh, I think you said that's not a take. That's just, no one's hit 400 since what, Ted Williams? So no, that's
correct.
Okay.
But I'm only saying that as the opposite of all of the people who are going overboard with it so early in the season.
I understand, but all you're doing is refuting the 24-hour news cycle people, which is,
yes,
they're saying it because it's a 24-hour news cycle.
Right, which we love to do
about.
Here. We love to point out the ridiculousness of the 24-hour news cycle.
It is ridiculous. They need something to talk about. They need something for Greeny to slobber and talk about in the morning, because he can't talk about Aaron Rodgers every single day. So he gets to talk about that. But it's still pretty amazing what he's doing. The fact that he's getting this close, and the fact that he's, you know, what is it, 30 or 40 or 50 points ahead of anybody else batting average wise.
Right. And the fact that he's flirting with this hitting for 400, and barely anybody considers him MVP caliber at all.
Oh, God, no.
Which is funny, because anytime they would have the polls where it was like everybody's got with Acuna number one, there'd be the, what about the guy who's going to hit 400? No, not the guy who's slapping base hits through the hole versus the guy who's leading off, hitting home runs, leading to a team the best record in baseball, stealing runs at a ridiculous pace, stealing bases at a ridiculous pace. Come on.
Nobody's doing that. But I think people understand in baseball that there's such a difference. You can put up those type of numbers. Basically, the Sam Bradford completion percentage is what's going on here. Is you can put up an astronomical number on a certain percentage, and everybody realizes it's just a number. It doesn't actually.
God, that show that we did when we actually dug into those numbers of Sam Bradford's, but that was 73% completion percentage, and you realized how empty those numbers were.
For an average of about 4.5 yards per throw.
That 4.9 yards per attempt.
Like, he completed a lot of passes. Did it get them anywhere? No, not really. Did it win them a whole lot of games?
Yeah.
No. But he did it. Can't take it away from him.
I'm thinking that the shockers in here are the Mets and the Phillies. Good luck figuring them out.
My Mets that I decided to pick to win the division, even after they lost Edwin Diaz in the World Baseball Classic, that was not a good move at all by me. I thought what they had as a secret weapon was these kids that they could call up during the season, and Francisco Alvarez and Brett Beatty and Vientos. They've called them up. They haven't done anything. Sometimes you call these kids up, like Baltimore and Cincinnati, and they put the team on their back and they do the damn thing. The Mets guys, they didn't do the damn thing. So that's basically the big difference there. Is they got the older guys in the rotation with Verlander and Scherzer. They haven't performed the way they're supposed to yet. Maybe they will in the second half and give the Mets a bit of a boost. But they've been a disappointment. And the bats have been a disappointment. Alonso got hurt. There's a lot of drama going on there. It's New York, so there's the sort of the added pressure of every loss is that much heavier and every game is that much more depressing just because you're in New York. So there clearly is a team not performing well under the pressure. I thought the owner was going to come fire Buck Showalter. That didn't happen, but it still might. I'm sure that's still on the table. So yeah, they're in a bad spot. They're 18 and a half games out of first. They're not catching the Braves. No, I don't think anyone's catching the Braves. And I don't think they're going to really contend for a wild card either, unless Verlander and Scherzer just decide to go lights out in the second half. So keep an eye out for that. If that doesn't happen, the Mets are just completely dead.
Yeah. Now, you had the Phillies winning it all.
I did. I had them winning the wild card and then making a run in October. So technically, I can't possibly be excoriated for that. And the Phillies aren't that bad. They're seven games over. They're right there for the wild card. Yeah,
they've actually clawed their way back in. They're only, half a game out of the wild card right now. I would not be shocked to see them switch positions with either the Giants or the Diamondbacks or even the Marlins. I think the NL wild card, you could have teams that are out. Philadelphia, I even think San Diego, I don't want to ever write them off.
We know they got
could
the talent.
Make a surge, because I do think that one of those three teams in the wild card right now in the NL is going to somebody's moving out. There's going to be opportunity for these teams that are even San Diego six out's not so bad if you have only a couple of teams ahead of you like they do when you're like in another like in near the American League, let's say, and if you're six out you've got six teams to jump and you have to get into that's harder to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be shocked if your Phillies do squeak in as a wild card. Who knows? Maybe they make some hay. Maybe you still get this one right.
You can't count them out until October. Cause
that's
going to
take some work
to win
though.
It all.
And
yeah.
That's going to take some work.
I was kind of counting on the second half, and like Bryce Harper was coming back from that torn elbow, and I was counting on him sort of turning it on in the second half and getting, using the first half as sort of a way to work his way back in and then turning it up once the second half. So that's kind of what I'm banking on still. And,
right.
And that can still happen.
And
Kyle Schwarber did his June thing and then started crushing everything.
Oh, yeah, he was hitting bombs every day.
Mm-hmm. Only when I picked him to hit a home run did he not hit a home run.
But we still have the one thing that baseball does right over every other sport for baseball coming up. That's the trade deadline. So
always exciting. Most exciting deadline in sports.
It is the most exciting trade deadline in sports. It makes or breaks teams going into that last couple of months of the season. We love it. I wish other sports had this much. The NFL's trying. Last few years, they did make that smart move. I think they should still push it even farther, the NFL, so that you really know when teams are out of it and you can see some moves, dumping some contracts, trading for some picks, really setting themselves up for that next season. I wish the NFL did that better. I think they're trying.
Baby steps. At least they don't do it after week six like they used to. So be happy.
Man. Yeah, what is it? What is it now?
It's like week eight or nine now.
Yeah, I still think that you could get away in the NFL with this extended season now of having a trade deadline early November.
Probably
maybe even later.
You want a Thanksgiving deadline?
Boy, it would be like the NFL to do something like that. And then just nationally televise it on Black Friday and.
They're already getting
a game on
Black Friday.
Which would be hard because teams that had already played, that one would be tough.
Yeah.
There's a few things that the NFL is not, that it's a little so rusty with, that they're not the best with. But if they had a, balls out trade deadline like MLB has, they're already a juggernaut, but they figure that one out. There'll be something.
Don't put it past them.
Like what they do for the draft. Like baseball just had. Who gave a shit? Did you care at all about the MLB draft?
Of course I didn't. And you, as a person who doesn't have a TV on all the time, you are so lucky that you didn't have to put up with draft coverage, because it was so annoying. And it was like, no one knows who these kids are. Some college, was it LSU, got the first two picks, first time teammates ever got drafted together. No one gives a shit. You're not going to see most of these kids ever.
Right.
Some of them you'll see soon, but you don't know when. Like, there's no juice at all to a baseball draft, because you're going into a minor league system. They're not going right to you don't have a Wembanyama. You don't get a chance to see what they're made of right now. You're going to see them in 3 or 4 years if they're that good. And like I said, half of them you're never going to see. So it's
right.
They're
like
trying to make a
drafted
thing out of it.
It's like these kids get drafted, and then 3-4 weeks from now, we're going to see, you know, Twitter videos of them in shorts and a T-shirt hitting bombs. Nobody cares.
Down in Port St. Lucie. Oh, he's ready. He's ready to come
right
up now. He's ready for the show.
I will tell you, for MLB, I appreciate the effort to put some interest into this, but the league is not set up in a way. Because these guys are going to get drafted, then they're going to disappear in rookie ball, low A ball, high A ball, double A. Sometimes you make that jump from double A to the majors. Sometimes, most of the time, then you're going to go to triple A. Yeah. So it's going to be several years before any of these guys make an impact at all.
I know you're trying to appreciate what they're trying to do, but it's so different. All they're doing is trying to emulate the NFL excitement. And the NFL excitement comes from knowing that you're going to see these draft picks on the field in a few months. It is not the same in baseball. It's not anywhere close to the same. So to see these kids trying to come across the stage in their bad-looking suits and their gold chains and all that, and like I said, knowing that half of them you're never going to see again, it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Baseball's, you know, the farm system, the minor league system for baseball is so bloated, right? There's so many levels.
Yeah, you're pointing them out. All the ball you got to go through, all the rookie ball and high A and all that stuff, yeah.
Arizona Fall League, you know, Mexican League. These guys are going to just disappear. And
Cape Cod League.
Right. Nobody's going to care until these guys start showing up on prospect lists. That's about the first time any of these guys are ever going to get heard of again, is when, you know, degenerate fantasy players like me are scouring through minor league scouting reports on the top 300 prospects in baseball. I'm never going to remember that. Oh, yeah, I was that guy that was drafted. No, don't care.
I think I read that they were asking some of these all-stars about the guy that got picked first. I think his last name is Skeens or something like that. He's a pitcher.
Oh, good for
him. And they were asking if they think he could pitch right now in the majors.
They probably laughed.
I don't know if they laughed or not, but think about how completely absurd it is for baseball to beg us for our attention about these draft picks and then turn around and ask the major league, hey, you think this kid can actually play the sport at the highest level right now? Because we probably can't. And it's just ludicrous for us to try to pretend to care about the guy, and he probably can't even play at the major league level right now, because none of them can.
Or think about this. Sometimes they draft high schoolers who still go to college.
Right. You don't see them for 4 years because they decided to go to school.
Yeah. So imagine if LeBron James got drafted out of high school and then still went and had to play two, three years of college ball. But,
The hype would not be there at all, because it'd be like,
we don't know if he can play.
I
did not intend to crap all over the MLB draft on this show, but you went there, so. Like I said, I appreciate the effort. At least you tried. You get the participation trophy for trying so hard, MLB. But sometimes you just, don't try to copy the NFL draft, because there is nothing like that. Like I said when I found out that the draft's in Green Bay in 2025, like, I'm going. If tomorrow they said the MLB draft's in Green Bay or close to here, yeah, no, sorry. No. Making no effort to go to the MLB draft. Or to even get excited about it.
Right. It's not a thing, and it probably will never be a thing. But they're trying to make it a thing because they saw how
even
the
NBA draft has more oomph to it.
Right, because you're going to see the kids in a few months.
Yeah, but it's two rounds. Totally different.
Remember in the basketball draft was like 7 rounds and the football was like 11?
12 rounds for football, if I remember when we were growing up.
Well, times have definitely changed. I had a couple of minor things to get in, and then you can get in whatever you wanted to get in. I wanted to update about the my attempt to defraud the football scouting people and try to get a job in scouting college football, even though I don't know what half of the plays are and half of the formations are. Sports Info Solutions sent a very nice form letter about a week and a half ago. Very flowery language about how qualified I was and this, that, and the other, and how there was just so many other great candidates they had to consider this year, and so I did not get that gig. There's still confusion and a bit of a mystery because I only got I interviewed for two different gigs with Sports Info Solutions, as you recall, the video scouting and then also the going to the game and documenting that for their whatever gambling site that's that they're hired for.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd interviewed very well for that one, so I was, I don't want to say I was counting my chickens before they hatched, but I was kind of planning on that being a thing this coming fall, that I was going to have to make room for going to these games. So they only sent me one rejection email. They didn't send two. I don't know if that other gig is still out there. I know it's still like out there on the website. Like you can still apply for the Memphis scouting gig as well as other many other college cities on the Sports Info Solutions website. So it's possible they just haven't made that call yet because they don't have to. These games aren't starting for another month and a half. So you don't have to make that call necessarily. It's possible. Maybe I'm just trying to talk my way into it and talk it into existence. But it's possible they just said, he's not going to be in the scouting program because he doesn't know, what he's talking about. So they just threw me out of that. But then the other program, they might be holding on and saying, let's give it a couple more weeks, see who else applies. And if no one else applies, then we'll let him do that. So still holding out hope. So we'll wait and see.
Well, I hope you get it.
I hope so, too. That one, I didn't feel like a fraud when I was interviewing. That one,
yeah.
I was...
I mean, on the last show we did, you were already cashing the paychecks and
Well, we were talking
plan.
About it, and the guy is talking about, we know all about your baseball work and your 8 years of doing that because we're looking right at it here, and we just want to get to know you on the football side here because they already know all about you on the baseball side. So they gassed me up, man. They made me feel like I was, big man on campus. In and doing the football thing. So that's why I felt really good about that.
You could tell them all day about Flyner flies and all that stuff.
Yeah, man. I know all about it. And the Flyner liners and the, the millions of things you have to cover on every single pitch. That was a thing. And it was, a little overwhelming at first, the first few games. But once I got the hang of it, I nailed all that shit. I knew exactly what I had to do. When the ball was hit, I had to plot it where it hit on the ground. When it hit the ground, I had to plot in the field where it hit. I had to say what velocity it was hit, whether it was hard, medium, or soft. I had to say how high it was. Was it a liner? Was it a Flyner liner? Was it a Flyner fly? Had to cover all that stuff. Who picked it up and where what happened to the ball and all that stuff. And was it a good defensive play or not? And on a scale of 1 to 5, that actually came in later. The last few years, that was a new thing. You had to rate the defensive play on a scale of 1 to 5, between easy and hard, basically. You actually had to rate the defensive play, how difficult of a play you thought it was for the defender to make and whether they deserved a good play or not. There was a special drop down box for good play. I knew all of that stuff, man. I could tell them exactly how we did it on baseball and the football is new. This is their first year doing the football like that. So,
well, it's good to know the mob's branching out.
Indeed. And I also wanted to get back with you and call back the SiriusXM billboard.
Yeah, you did say when you scheduled the show and you texted me that you had a, like, I don't know if it was like a mea culpa on this or what.
No, it wasn't a mea culpa. It was a surprise plot twist to the whole story.
Because
what happened was you jumped on and looked up a billboard R&B top 500 list.
I did.
And read it off to me, and I'm thinking that it was the list that I was listening to, but then again, I knew that you had read some songs at the top of the list in the top 10, and I'm like, I've already heard that song on the countdown. It wasn't anywhere near the top 10.
Oh, no. So was I reading a different list?
You were reading a different list. They did a different R&B 500 countdown like 4 or 5 years ago. This was completely different. I don't know what the variation was. I don't know why they decided to do this list instead of that particular list, but it was a completely different list. Just as an example, the number one list, the number one song on the list that you were reading off to me was What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. And in this countdown, I had heard that song. It was like 3-something, like 300 and something.
Well,
and
that
like, what?
Divergent opinion.
I don't know what to make of that. But this was a completely different list. They were trying to – my complaint was they were trying to be way too broad. They were bringing in songs that just came out like several years ago or 10 years ago, 20 years,
right,
and trying to rate them as top R&B songs of all time next
right.
to Smokey
so ESPN,
Robinson, next to
– ESPN problem.
This is the greatest song of all time. Yeah, pretty much.
Came out last
ESPN
week.
ESPN problem. Uh-huh. Greatest, right next to Whitney Houston, right next to all of them. I don't have that list of the of this current. I looked before the show. I don't see that listed anywhere. This new list that they made, and I won't go through all the what I remember as far as who did what where. But I did want to bring up just the top two, just as a perfect chef's kiss example of doing way too much and trying to encompass way too much on a historical countdown was what they decided that the top two R&B songs of all time should be.
Okay.
They decided that number two should be The Twist by Chubby Checker, which came out like before rock and roll was invented, like in the 50s or 60s or something like that.
No. Oh.
The number two R&B song of all time.
No. First of all, I don't even classify that as R&B.
Yeah, that is.
Do you?
There's a lot of songs on that countdown I wouldn't classify as R&B.
That's more like early rock and roll to me.
Right, right. So of all the R&B songs in the history of the world, they decided that there's only one song that deserved to beat out The Twist by Chubby Checker, and that song came out 3 years ago.
Oh.
Blinding Lights by The Weeknd was named
no.
the greatest R&B song
no.
of all time. And I just, my mouth hit the floor when I heard, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, I have got nothing against the song. It was a huge song. But
greatest
the best?
Of all time?
No. When you heard that song, have you been like, yeah, that's the GOAT. That's the GOAT.
This is better than anything Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, any Michael Jackson, anything else any of those people ever did. This is so.
These lists do? It gets people talking.
That's exactly it. It gets dialogue. It gets.
Because here we
exactly
are.
What it is?
Completely torching that list. Makes me prefer the other list, by the way. So now I'm going to rank the lists. I'm going to have a top 500 list. Of the greatest R&B 500 top 500 lists. So I'm going to rank the lists and then tell you which one's the best.
Well, we've got two lists so far, so we have to research and find more. Yeah, they're doing
right.
way too much.
They're trying too hard. Is that what you're
oh
telling
my
me?
God.
Working too hard.
Chubby Checker and then The Weeknd. No.
They just crapped on the 60 years that happened in between those songs.
Completely. Completely crapped on it. Nothing was better than the twist by Chubby Checker except the song that came out 3 years ago. Nothing.
Which was
else.
It's a good song. It played all over the place. I mean, it transcended its genre. It was everywhere. But the best?
The greatest of all? No. No. Like you said, it did its job. It got people talking. All right. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
I'm actually thinking we're going to get snipered here in any minute.
We are officially in the after show. Any drops?
Sniper's coming off. But hey, we got our MLB recap in. We don't do it all the time. I thought, hey,
right.
You know what? All-Star break. It's a good chance because we actually committed all of these picks to record. I have them all saved. Like, let's go back. Let's revisit. Good chance to see what we got right. What mostly what we got wrong, and what we think for the second half. You know, we got MLB. Hall of Infamy coming up a few weeks. That's you.
It is me this year, yes.
I've got football all ready to go. I mean, literally all ready to go.
I'm not as organized with that as you. I'm in the middle of a Spanish class this month.
Oh, yeah.
That's taking up all my time. So, but once that's over, I will be getting right to work on the Baseball Hall of Infamy.
I am always excited for my Hall of Fame inductions because you've always, every year you think you're outdoing yourself, and no different this year for my football one. I'm just like, this is the one.
Hey, everybody needs a creative outlet. That's definitely ours.
This is where we get to the point where we've put so many in. The fun now is finding new things to put in, or how did we forget that things to put in?
Yeah, that after 10 years, you'd think we'd run out of guys to surprise each other with.
There
but we
is
always
a guy
that,
I'm putting in this year. I'm not joking. I have checked our master list 3 or 4 times because for the way we do this, to not be in the hall, I'm going to go back before we do the show and check again just to make sure. This dude's not in the Hall of Infamy because when it happens,
we'll both be like,
especially in the spirit of the way that we do this. It's a shocker if unless I look through and it's on there, which I'll be sad, but I don't remember either one of us doing it. And I'm almost damn sure, cause you've made the running master list on the blog. I don't think he's on there, and I'm just shocked. So I've even shocked myself this year with my Hall of Infamy induction.
Good. Very much looking forward to it. We always shock each other, and we always come up with someone that the other one is grabbing their master list, and let me scratch that off. Shit.
Yeah.
So we still got master lists, both of us. We still got a long way to go. We still got a lot of guys.
The funny thing is my list, I have my 5. It's not my list of 5. It's my list of 8 or 9 that I'm picking 5 off of. So I don't have my official 5 yet. I get that usually the week or so before when I start prepping for the show. But I'm almost there. Unless something really comes up that grabs my attention or sways me, I think I'm pretty well set.
Yeah, mine is, I got my big master list on the back of some junk mail envelope or something, so I'm always picking from that.
Oh,
but
mine's in my phone, always. It's in my notes.
Ah.
In my phone, so I've always got it. So if something pops up, I'm just like, let me add that to the, because I've got a separate note tab for my MLB and a separate one for my football.
Basically, all I do is check down and see, is there a tangential connection between the this year's real inductees and anyone on my master list? Because if there is, then that's an automatic. And then from there, then I decide who deserves to go in. Who is the bigger injustice that they haven't been put in yet?
Wow, that I don't do.
There's some. After all these years, there's still some that's like, it's time. He's got to go. Because it's been long enough. So we always surprise each other with those. Unless you got anything else, I think we're about done.
I am done.
All right. So am I.
We have nothing to play us out tonight.
Yeah, we don't. We just have our wonderful voices. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast. We don't make any promises, but there's a chance we'll get another show in before our Hall of Infamy inductions. But if we don't, then you'll definitely know you'll see us at the beginning of August for the baseball and football Hall of Fame / Hall of Infamy induction shows. So one way or another, we will definitely talk to you again soon. Hopefully you enjoyed whatever ramblings this was tonight.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right.